My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Play clock at 5-4. Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle over the middle on an in cut and an absolute rope from Brock Purdy right in between two defenders.
49ers radio fired up. George Kittle's second touchdown of the night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You know, it's funny, not feeling a lot of relief or even joy at all from 49er fans. You snap a two-game losing streak. You finish off a division rival as opposed to the last two games, Pearl, where you allowed two other division rivals to come back on you. I get that it wasn't perfect last night, but I took a lot more good things out of the 49ers last night than bad.
I think Niners fans feel okay right now. You think?
We've heard from a couple this morning, and some more about they can't tackle, well, the special teams are a mess.
The special teams is such an unbelievably, they're going to make a move. They have 10 days. They got to do something.
Another kicker, maybe a necessity.
No, I mean, I think they changed the coaching staff. Because you let up a touchdown, and then at the end of the game, you let the guy get to the... Nobody's returning kicks in the entire NFL. I mean, nobody at all. Nobody can figure this out except on the Niners, and they almost got... Their punt coverage isn't good either. Their punter is good. It's funny. Their kicker was hurt, so they were on their backup kicker. They're at the 41-yard line, and they couldn't even consider a field goal. Like, that's going to cost... This team's supposed to be a contender. There's a lot of problems, definitely. That being said, I think last night was a huge relief. Those George Kittle touchdowns, oh, my God. Thank God they had those, because they couldn't do anything. They were 29th in the red zone coming into that game. I think they're still going to be in the bottom half, but for a team that was number one, I want Isaac Arendo on my fantasy team. This guy's going to run
100 yards last night.
Watch, he's going to run for 150 yards next week or in 10 days against KC. They find running backs out of nowhere. It's amazing to watch.
We'll see. He ended up making what was, I thought at first, I was like, oh, this is a really smart play where the team is up 5 and he breaks off for a huge run. It's obviously going to be a score, and to me, it looked like he slid at the 4-yard line. I was like, oh, that's smart. They're going to kill more clock. But then it turned out that that was not the case. Now, they did get the Seahawks to burn several timeouts, but they had to score because they didn't want to make it a one-score game and give the ball back to the Seahawks.
Yeah, it was actually a tactical error. As somebody who live bet the Niners on the money line, I was like, what are you doing, dude? I could go to bed right now. Because he made it still a game because the Niners had 2 timeouts, so they would have got at least a Hail Mary. It didn't make any sense. Then I couldn't believe that they let Kyle Juszczyk run in. I don't know if that was on purpose. Did Seattle say, at least we'll go for an onside kick.
But then they didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure what happened there. The Seattle, by the way, that team should be worried.
They should be very worried. Not just the injuries, because both teams were injured last night, but this was a bad Geno game. And it's really, this game probably should have just been outright won in the first half, but because the 49ers were settling for field goals and couldn't get the ball in the end zone, Pearl, you know, some Geno Smith mistakes and bad throws, they were still in the game despite those. Now, Geno went on a bit of a heater in the third quarter. They scored 14 straight points, but that was also helped out because the referees just flat out got a massive call wrong, which was a muffed punt that would have put San Francisco first down at the 18-yard line. And instead, despite a Kyle Shanahan challenge where we're watching an angle where it looks like it hits the returner and then is recovered by San Francisco, this felt like it was actually not that hard of a call.
Well, we actually didn't see the angle. No, we didn't see it until about a minute after the official call was made. Right. We didn't see anything
either. That was a part of it. But I know that the beginning of this very controversial play starts with a 49er player running into the punt returner, getting blocked into the punt returner. So that sort of set things off on this unique and kind of wonky road.
Right, they threw a flag.
Right.
And then they picked the flag up.
Picked the flag up, but then it seemed like the kick actually hit the returner in the hand.
Yeah.
And even on replay, it should have been looked at closely because Amazon, who did the game last night, did have an angle, an enhanced angle, where it showed that it hit off of D. Williams' hand. But the referee, Craig Rolstadt, did not get that angle, or the replay review, excuse me, didn't get that angle until the referee had already said Seahawks ball.
Right. And we actually didn't see that angle until about 6 minutes after the play. So somebody in the truck screwed up.
Yeah, the production truck.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Replay shouldn't be so dependent on some PA. It's weird.
Well, I don't know if it's a PA is a production assistant. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. Well,
no, I mean, it's not nitty-gritty. Like, it's actually like the production truck is affecting the outcomes of the games, like, because it just feels weird to me that the NFL is relying on cameramen and now it seems like the guys who are kind of doing the tape, the system is I think the system is flawed. If that happened in the Super Bowl, that would be very bad.
Well, yeah, it would be. I don't think we get these a lot, though. That's why I was like, eyebrow raised. Like, what's Amazon holding back to try to keep this a close game? Because if the 49ers got the ball at the 18-yard line, the game's over and everyone's going to bed.
You say that, but you know what's funny? Every game, the guys who are up top in the stadium are watching the TV copy, and they're waiting to see the replay to see if they should throw the red flag.
Right.
So there is a symbiosis between the networks and the actual officiating.
Yeah,
that's
no
important.
Well, because the NFL's
really
not going to have their
night.
Own cameras there. Yeah. They're going to rely on the TV production.
And it's always funny, like, you could see the coach, like, stalling, like, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Should I throw the flag? Should I throw the flag? It's just a bizarre situation.
855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on the game from last night from the 49ers side, still letting teams back in after you stake yourself to a pretty big lead. And then for the Seahawks side, I mean, you were going to have to be looking for a new quarterback after this year anyway. And Geno threw two bad picks in this game, one in the first quarter, one in the fourth quarter. And honestly, Pearl, if we can talk about the end of the game and all that, but that fourth quarter interception killed any shot of the Seahawks coming back and winning this game.
Yeah, they seemed like they were out of sync all night long, trying to force a ball into DK Metcalf time and time again. And I love DK. It just wasn't meant to be. You got to spread the ball around more. And I'm sorry, they came in the game committed to the run, Maggie. You and I disagreed a little bit with this. I don't care if you're behind 16-0. You got to run the ball. And you got to, because you have Kenneth Walker and you have Zach Charbonnet. They said, we're not going to have Geno drop back that many times. And then he threw 52 times last night. So this new coach, and Ryan Grubb and Mike McDonald, they better commit to the run because that's who you're supposed to be.
19 carries between Walker and Charbonnet, 52 yards, one touchdown for Walker, but that's not going to get it done. Not only was there the bad interception, there was also a beautiful touchdown throw. I'll give Geno some flowers about this. A beautiful touchdown throw that went to DK Metcalf that got called off and negated because of an illegal formation. And I'll tell you, I mean, illegal formation has been the buzzwords of this season.
So
guys
annoying.
Have to get set at the line of scrimmage. Like, if you are a coach, you have to be pulling your hair out. This is such an easy one to fix.
Or just like the rest of NFL history, just let it go once in a while. Like, dude, who cares?
They're not letting it go.
Yeah, this is all early season stuff. They will flag everything, and then they'll just let go by the end of the year. They're not. You think they're going to get that call in the playoffs? That's not happening.
It's crazy, but we're still calling it in week six, so I don't know what to tell you. Okay, there was another moment last night that deserves our attention, because you and I have to decide here, Perloff, whether this is a big deal or not.
Okay.
Now, this is the end of the game. There's a minute and four left on the play clock. And the camera pans to John Lynch on the sideline. So Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit start talking about the construction of the team, because John Lynch is the GM, of course. And they say this about Christian McCaffrey as a kind of injury update.
There's no real timeline scheduled to bring him back. Talking to John Lynch, there's John, the GM, Kyle Shanahan. They hope, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, they hope. We'll see.
Okay, 3 or 4 weeks. Then we have a little Herbstreit here, too. Let's hear from Herbstreit.
Nobody knows his body better than Christian McCaffrey, the way he takes care of that year-round. So he'll come back when he's ready, and hopefully it'll be this year, and hopefully it'll be during an opportunity for this team to make a stretch run. You just know when the dust settles in the NFC, Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are still going to be a team you're going to have to deal with despite all the injuries.
Okay, so I guess, like, how did you interpret this? Because it kind of sounds like they talked to John Lynch, right? And he's saying 3 or 4 weeks. Is he talking about calendar weeks, or is he talking about NFL game weeks, right? Like, we're week six right now. Is he saying he wouldn't be back until week 10, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it's super significant.
Well, because they have a bye week in week 9. So, okay. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well,
Before the bye, after the bye? Because I think you and I thought that McCaffrey could be back next week against the Chargers. Against the Chiefs.
I saw Breer came out before the game. I did not see this and said, Albert Breer, our buddy from Sports Illustrated, who's now the Amazon sideline, or the information guy, said that the next 2 weeks of practice are critical about whether they're going to shut him down the next season, meaning that he won't play again. I thought he was a maybe for Kansas City, meaning that at least he's going to miss that game and then maybe be back the next game after that.
And Breer said they're deciding whether to shut him down for the season? That's what
you
said?
Yeah.
See, this is a pretty large range of outcomes we're talking about. Either he's practicing and can play next week, or he's not going to play for another 3 or 4 weeks. By the way, he just came off of IR. This is why we're talking about it. He was eligible to play this week. And didn't play, obviously, but he's off IR. Or he might come back in 3 or 4 weeks, or he might get shut down for the season. I mean, that's a pretty big spectrum of outcomes.
Maybe I'm totally naive here. For the first time all season last night, I saw a path where, whoa, the Niners might be able to adjust to this. Because they were not adjusting well to not having Christian McCaffrey. Like, they're terrible in the red zone. But they seemed to improve last night by throwing the ball at George Kittle, and they lined up Debo all night long. They're like, last night they basically said, I guess Debo hadn't gotten a lot of touches last week. They're like, well, Debo, you carry us. So I think that we saw Shanahan adjusting to life without CMC last night. For the first time, really, all season, they looked a little more comfortable. To me, and maybe I'm being naive here, obviously they've found these other random running backs. Jordan Mason got hurt, but I assume that's not a major injury. I don't know. Maybe they'll readjust.
You'd expect, you know.
But it's taken a while because they have not really known what to do in the red zone without McCaffrey.
Yeah, 3 for 5 in the red zone last night, but again, a little bit skewed because of a late touchdown. Yeah,
is that 3 for 5?
That's what I'm seeing here on the team stats.
Oh, right, because of that late touchdown. You're right, you're right, 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 right.
Skewing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, the first half, they could have really put the game away and couldn't because they had to keep settling for field goals.
But, Debo Samuel, he's awesome at running back, but will he get injured? That's the main concern, too. Like, this team is very fragile.
Okay, so again, speaking of Debo. Okay, so he gets banged up on a play. And this is very similar to, I don't remember who this we were talking about this with last week, but I thought someone had hurt their shoulder. Was it Amon-Ra St. Brown? It was somebody. I thought they hurt their shoulder. And then we found out later that the person got hit in the junk.
Oh, that was the Cowboys receiver.
Oh, right.
Oh, Jalen Tolbert. Right.
Yeah, because he was miraculous, bro. That's what that was the quote.
Greatest quote of the year.
Yeah. It was miraculous that he came back because he got hit down below.
So you think any shoulder injury, you're immediately thinking that's a groin shot?
Well, no, because like the way that he, You guys know more about this than me. I don't know. It looked like the same thing that Tolbert was dealing with before he caught the game winning touchdown against the Steelers. He's kind of like leaned over, if you will.
Debo,
and it looks like his shoulder's dislocated, right. But then it turned out he actually got hit in the junk, and it's miraculous, bro, that he was able to come back.
Oh, so they said that he did get hit in the...
No, they didn't say last night. We didn't get any information last night.
I thought, I don't know. First of all, Debo, the way he runs, he's so upright. He gets the legs taken out from underneath him. Every time he gets hit, I'm like, oh, that's an ACL tear. That's an ACL tear. And then he pops right back up. So I kind of think that maybe he takes hard hits because he runs very upright, so he exposes his whole body. I guarantee that, like, he suffered some kind of real injury at some point.
Okay, so but again, same thing with Tolbert. It looks like it's a shoulder that's, like, almost out of the socket. He goes to the sideline, and then he's back in a play. And nobody's over there working on him, so I thought maybe it was he got hit in the jewels.
Sometimes they get those stingers, it looks the same.
Yeah, that's
true. So he could have had a stinger. But Debo is also, he's kind of has that Jim Brown effect where, like, he gets just pummeled. And you're thinking, oh, he's not getting up from that. And he kind of like gets up, kind of limps to the sideline, limps to the huddle. Like, oh, he's not right. And then he runs for 70 yards.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's just, he's kind of unreal in that respect.
Debo has a shoulder history, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
So that's like, I assume like he's going to wear down. That's a real math for them. Like, Debo's awesome, but do they want to minimize how many times he's filling in for McCaffrey?
We've been talking about that for years.
I know.
Not
the
McCaffrey part.
Remember,
just
Debo was like, remember he signed a new contract? He's like, I don't want to be a running back. And now they're back to square one where he's basically a running back.
Listen, they were losing guys left and right.
He was great last night, by the way.
Three receptions for over 100 yards.
Yeah, 76 yarder. He's the heart and soul of that team, especially if McCaffrey's out.
Bob is in California. What has a thought on NFL cameras? We're talking about the muff punt last night that was not called a muff punt. It was called it was Seahawks ball. It should have been the 49er ball at the 18-yard line. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, good morning. I just really quickly, I remember at one point seeing cinematography involved in the NFL where they'd have that kind of 360 all the way around the stadium kind of angle. Kind of Matrix look, and it's kind of disappeared. And I'm just wondering, was that too an expensive a venture to do, or is it something that they can't bring back? I mean, it's a $1 billion industry. You think they'd be able to afford something like that? That's all I got.
Bob, it's a good question. Are you referring to the sky cam, like the ones that were on those rope, like the wires, and they used to go across the stadium? Monday Night Football was really big with this. Do you guys remember that? Not the top down, but it was like.
Oh, yeah.
Right above.
That's not there anymore?
I never see one of those anymore.
Huh, you're right. I don't see that anymore either. You
what
always wonder, like,
it?
Is that going to be
the one? The one that goes, like, flying?
Yeah,
yes.
I know it was invented in Utah. I've heard a whole backstory about it. It's called the Sky Cam?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Not to be confused with the Sky Judge. Now, the Sky Judge is someone who's in a press box area who's looking down to see about
Yeah, I definitely think there's some issue with it, right? Because if you go like I was at the U.S. Open a couple years ago, and like it's very front and center, like everybody sees the camera. I don't feel like I see it. But wasn't there a Jet game where like it broke?
Some pieces fell down on the field,
right? And it like delayed the game,
right? I remember the NFC title game, Eagles Niners. Remember a punt hit the sky cam, and totally screwed up the play.
Yeah, why there's been a change?
Don't they use like drones now instead, or no?
Could be.
Probably drones.
That's what I think. That's what I think Bob was talking about. I think he's talking about the drones.
Maybe.
They have flying drones around the field, or are they above the stadium?
No, drone around cameras. The field. Yeah,
they're no.
I think they do.
There are drones flying around that field. I haven't seen them.
I don't know. The last time you were went to the NFL. How many? You went to a couple Eagles games last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I went last year. I went to a game. Right. There's definitely. I would have noticed a drone flying around the stadium. There's
The game Sunday night, so I'll get back to you guys Monday. I'm here Monday. So
okay.
Would see the drones on TV.
No, because they're small, and maybe that's why they did it, because like, that was more noticeable, like these small little drone cameras, not as noticeable. Maybe that's what they're wanting.
I mean, the UFL is definitely using drones, so I thought maybe that's something that came from the UFL.
I think you would see them on TV. You saw the Skycam all the time.
Right, but I mean, to Nick's point, maybe the drones kind of fly in, fly out. You know, it could be a lot quicker.
Because like, they do get these weird shots of the stadium. That's what I was referring to, these shots where they kind of just come in from out of the stadium and they kind of just zoom in and then come out. I thought that was part of the production.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a thing where they're doing this for the whole game. I think it's one of those, like, get our swooping shot at the stadium and then we get out.
Well, the Skycam, I thought, gave people a view that looked a lot like the video game Madden. Right? Like, that was where you got sort of just from behind behind the quarterback view.
That was awesome. Yeah, again, like, picture, you have a stadium full of people and you're flying an expensive camera up on a drone. Like, what if you go 80 feet to the left and run into the crowd? I just don't think this is happening a lot.
I don't know if it's a non, and maybe this doesn't make it a drone. I don't know if it's, like, not wired, but I think there is something that's not the Skycam that's a lot closer to the stadium. I think there is something that they have a little more control over. I feel like I've seen those shots during these games, and I'm like, wow, that's a cool shot. I assume, you know, now I'm a camera nerd. I keep assuming it's something like a drone, but I don't know what it is.
Got to call somebody who works in production. We know a few people.
Oni may know, right?
Oh, yeah, Oni Bose might.
Oni, sorry.
Think he's awake?
Here's a headline. 2023, Fox Sports expands Skycam use for NFL coverage. So they still have some form of Skycam.
855-212-4227.
You know, I always think of drones that, like, Super Bowl is always freaked out. Like, they have a no-fly zone all around the Super Bowl, so nobody tries to fly a drone in with a bomb. Yeah, I don't think drones and stadiums is as easy as you guys do. We'll find out.
855-212-4227. All right. Nothing like a little camera talk on a Friday. Coming up next, our pal Nick Kostos will join us from You Better You Bet. Let's win some
money.
Welcome
back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I put out a poll of my own. I went rogue today, as I want to do. Yeah. If you could watch one player in the World Series, who would it be? Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge? 87% Shohei. Just proving my point. Like, this is all about Shohei. If MLB is going to fix this World Series or fix this whole thing, you got to get Shohei through. This is the most. Now that my Phillies are out, I just want to see him do something spectacular.
This is the anti-New York bias that is bleeding through. Let's get the thoughts of a diehard Yankee fan, Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, BetQL Network. One of our faves joins us every week to try to help us win some money. Nick, congrats to your Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. And more importantly, congrats to Perloff's Philadelphia Phillies on making it four games in the National League Division Series against the Mets. Good job, buddy.
Whatever. Sorry, when's the last time your team was in the World Series? Less recently than mine.
Well, I mean, I can tell you that the last time our teams played in the World Series, I remember what the result was back in 2009, 15 years ago. It was a long time ago. I'm not sure if you remember what happened.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Are you not? Where's your A-Rod jersey then? You can have that team for all I care.
I promise you, I do have one. It's probably upstairs. I do have an A-Rod jersey.
It was a funny, we'll talk baseball another time. Nick, we got some college football and NFL to get to with you.
Great.
But I did see a tweet last night from a friend of mine, Andy Martino, who works for SNY. He's a great baseball writer, and he said, if the Yankees win the World Series, Giancarlo Stanton becomes an all-time great Yankee. And I love Andy Martino, but I was like, that one kind of caught me a little, because basically Giancarlo Stanton has been the scapegoat of this underachieving Yankee team, or one of the scapegoats of this underachieving Yankee team for a long time.
Yeah, I think Andy Martino does a great job also locally here in the New York area. It's a really hyperbolic comment. Right. I don't even mean this as criticism. I'm extremely prone to hyperbole also. People who will know me will.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it does too. But yeah, like what happens if the Yankees win the World Series and he bats 100 in the ALCS in the World Series, like no one's going to think he's like goes down as an all-time Yankee. Yeah. Like someone else will be the hero if that happens. But you have to acknowledge like he's the star of this American League Division Series. He has had some postseason moments for the Yankees. And I'll even go back to the wild card game the Yankees lost in Boston a couple years ago when Garrett Cole started the game and Stanton hit two like seeing eye doubles off the top of the Green Monster that are homers in any other ballpark. And like if those go out, maybe it changes the trajectory of like the way we talk about him as a Yankee and that particular Yankee season. But yeah, I think he needs to keep it up and then they win the World Series and he plays well. Mm. And then we can certainly have that conversation. And you know how this works, New York or otherwise, you win a championship, you're a key player on that team. Mm. You're immortalized. David Tyree did nothing as a Giant and made two big catches in Super Bowl 42, and he'll never have to buy a drink in the area again.
So I didn't know.
No one remembers the second catch.
He caught the touchdown at the start of on the first play of the fourth quarter. Also,
we're doing baseball. I would have my smelling salts ready for a Yankee discussion if we're here. I thought you had college football. It's the biggest college football weekend.
All right, let's get
Yankee. It's Giancarlo.
I don't think the Yankees
Yankee.
Are going to win
cares?
The World Series. That makes you feel better. I would bet against them winning the World Series.
Let's give the people what they want. Which is college football in the NFL. Let's start with college here. Major games. Let's talk about the ones that I think Prof and I are really on the fence about. And it starts with Ohio State and Oregon. Feels like Ohio State is, obviously, they're the betting favorite. Nick, they're a 3-point favorite in this game, but even the public feels really big on Ohio State.
Yeah, I like Ohio State a lot in the game. And it's a really interesting coaching matchup with two, you know, they're good, obviously really good college coaches, but these are big game losers. Like Ryan Day and Dan Lanning. This is not the irresistible force and the immovable object. This is the resistible force and the movable object with Ryan Day and Dan Lanning. I think what's going to happen coming out of this game, because Ohio State has played like the cream puff cupcake schedule the first 5 weeks or so of the season, I think we're going to exit this game and everyone's going to say, whoa, this team's ridiculously good. Their quarterback, Will Howard, is 80-1 right now to win the Heisman Trophy. And he's more of a game manager as opposed to like a quarterback that's going to put up like Jaden Daniels last year, Caleb Williams, who's going to put up a ton of like individual statistics in games. I'm just curious, though, if we get to the end of the season and Ohio State's undefeated, how is this guy not going to be considered to win the Heisman? And it's certainly possible that that's going to be the case. So I think he's an interesting flyer at price, like 80-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. And I do like Ohio State. And if anyone agrees, I think you can wait and you can lay a 3 with Ohio State coming up on Saturday. I'm on the road in Eugene. I like the Buckeyes.
You know, and on that logic, Jeremiah Smith, I don't know what his eye are. They're right around 81, too, I believe. Hey, what about, talking about big game chokers, Penn State, USC. Is this a big enough game for James Franklin to blow it?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I will say, I think I've said this with you guys a couple times. You know, the purist in me, I'm 41, been watching sports my whole life, like didn't like conference realignment at first. I tell you, though, like Minnesota, UCLA, maybe not so much. Penn State, USC in the regular season is pretty good, though. I think like Ohio State, Oregon, I kind of like this. yeah, it's definitely a big enough game for James Franklin to blow. And you know who thinks so? Bettors. Yesterday, this was 4.5. Now we're down to 3.5. I wouldn't be surprised if this trickled down further. You get USC in a nice bounce back after, like, the brutal loss for the Trojans last week on the road in Minnesota. It obviously is really tough to trust Penn State, and I haven't been super impressed. I expected more out of Drew Aller, their young quarterback this season. If I had to bet the game, it's not one of my favorite bets this weekend. I would fight on, but only take the points with USC.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet. We'll get to the NFL in a second. Let's do some more college, though. Red River rivalry. Obviously, Texas is the better team, Nick, but we've seen this rivalry where Oklahoma won last year. The spread is huge, 14.5. Which way would you bet this game?
Yeah, Maggie, I think you and I are thinking the same way here. I took the points with Oklahoma. Not only just because, you know, it's a great rivalry and the spread is more than 14 points at 14.5, but, you know, we have to remember, like, these are kids, right, with Texas. Not like professional. I guess they kind of are professional athletes now, but I think you know what I'm saying. Next week, Texas hosts Georgia. Game of the season in college football. And I know Sark's a great coach, and I mean that sincerely. Not sorry, he's a great coach. How do you have this tape? Like, Texas is expected to roll over Oklahoma, their biggest rival in the biggest rivalry game of the season, when they have Georgia on deck. To me, this sets up as a great spot to play Oklahoma and take the points with the Sooners and maybe catch Texas in a bit of a look-ahead spot here, looking ahead, obviously, to the game next week against Carson Beck and Georgia.
All right, I'm going to switch to the NFL, Nick. One line I don't understand. New Orleans Saints starting Spencer Rattler, and they still are only 3.5-point underdogs with Tampa Bay coming into town. Is there something I'm missing about Tampa Bay? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of love for the Bucs right now.
Yeah, it's just the way, like, point spreads are constructed. You know, Tampa Bay was going to be pearl off like a 2.5 or maybe even a 3-point underdog in the game to New Orleans. Like, with Derek Carr was going to be the quarterback. Look ahead line was New Orleans -2.5. So this is now all the way through zero, out through three. And just remembered, like, and we don't have to do the math, no one cares. Three is the most important number. It is a seismic move in the betting market to get from one spot, New Orleans -2.5, now to New Orleans +3.5. So it is a huge move. And New Orleans, think about the crowd in that dome. New Orleans has one of the best home field advantages in the league, which is why the point spread isn't bigger for Tampa. And I can tell you, I think this spread is going to close three. I think it's going to close Tampa Bay -3. So I think if you like New Orleans, I think you should actually play it now and take the 3.5. If you like Tampa, you can wait and you can lay the three with the Bucs. I like Tampa a little bit in the game. New Orleans has major issues in the interior of the O-line. Vita Vea could potentially wreck this game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. But, you know, you always run the risk. Like, what if Spencer Rattler's good? Like, no one knows the answer to that question. So, not one of my favorite bets of the week, but there's the analysis.
Nick, Lions, Cowboys, this is one of the games of the year last year, and I know it probably had to drive you nuts because Nick's all about, like, you know, competent coaching and whether coaches are
officiating
perform like idiots or not. And that was like, who wants to lose this game, Mike McCarthy or Dan Campbell? It ended up being Dan Campbell. But now the Lions come in as a 3-point favorite into Jerry World. How would you bet this game?
I'm going to wait. And I'm hoping to get, and I don't mean to like bog down in numbers. You're just like, if you want to make valuable bets, like if you want to bet the Cowboys in the game, I would suggest trying to get it +3.5 with Dallas. So you win if they lose by three. I do like Dallas in the game. And I like the over also. The total is 52. So Detroit's coming out of the bye. Frank Ragnow is going to be back. They're like all world center. They're going to be able to run the ball on Dallas's defense with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Now you might think, okay, under. These are going to be explosive runs for Detroit. And we saw Jared Goff, how efficient he was the last time we saw the Lions, Monday night a couple weeks ago, at home against the Seattle Seahawks. So I think the Lions are going to be able to score. And I know Dallas guys only scored 20 points on Sunday night last week against the Steelers. I think they're on to something now with this offense here. Jalen Tolbert is emerging now as a legit number two opposite CeeDee Lamb. Brandon Cooks is cooked. He's on IR. So I actually think the Cowboys offense has more juice with Tolbert as the two in the receiving core and Kevontae Turpin, the electric returner, as the three. And finally now, it looks like one of these running backs has kind of emerged as the number one and looks like a good player in Rico Dowdle. 20 for 87 last week for Rico Dowdle. So I think the Cowboys can kind of go score for score with the Lions here. I'll take the points with Dallas, and I like the over coming up on Sunday.
All right, Nick, this might be Philly bias, but I don't believe in the Washington Commanders as much, I think, as everyone else does. But the spread's pretty big. They haven't really played great defenses. I know Baltimore hasn't been a great defense, but is this possible? possibly the game where Jaden Daniels plays like a rookie? Is that ever going to happen, or is he really the MVP that he looks like so far?
So, like, play like a rookie, meaning like Bo Nix has played like at points of the season.
I don't know. I mean, can you keep this up?
So I'm just for context. Yeah, I mean, do I think like that's going to happen? No, I think he's kind of too good. Now, I think the concern with the Commanders' offense is maybe not yet, but this is classic Cliff Kingsbury. This is what Cliff did at Texas Tech. This is what Cliff did with the Arizona Cardinals, where his offense is kick ass to start the year. And then by like November, as the calendar starts turning, defenses figure it out. Now, maybe Daniels is such a great singular talent that that doesn't happen. Like that kind of remains to be seen in this game, though. And look, like Lamar was just as good as Joe Burrow last week. And that's kind of lost in the shuffle of how good Burrow was last week. Lamar might win Offensive Player of the Year. He might win MVP again. Seriously, he's been absolutely unbelievable here. But I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be able to score enough points on a Ravens defense that gave up 38 last week to Joe Burrow. So I bet the Commanders the last couple weeks, and this has been, guys, and I think I've talked about it with you, this has been like pros versus Joes the last couple weeks, sharps versus squares in the betting market, where people have faded the Washington Commanders, and they cover and they win outright. I've bet on them the last 2 weeks. I'll do it again here. It looks like the spread's going to go up to 7 for Baltimore. So if you like Washington, I actually think we can wait. Let's see if we can get a 7 with the Washington Commanders. If the Ravens pearl off, do win the game and cover the spread, I think it's like 41-34, 41-31, something like that.
Nick Costos with us for a few more minutes. Of course, he's the host of You Better You Bet. It's a must listen and watch for any better out there, or if you just want to be entertained, wagertainment, as Nick likes to call it. Nick, your Giants go to Seattle last week. Improbable win without Malik Nabers. So now you welcome the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals, obviously, you were just talking about them. We know that Joe Burrow and the offense can score. The defense has been bad. They're a 3.5-point favorite in this game. How are you betting it?
Yeah, I was really, really excited to bet the Giants in the game earlier in the week, when we thought Malik Nabers was going to play, and before we found out Kayvon Thibodeau had wrist surgery and was going to miss a couple weeks.
By the way, that story went a little under the radar, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it's something that really, really matters. Something else that matters, this is something that like no one's going to think about or consider, and that's okay. That's why I'm here. Like I'm in the weeds so other people don't have to be. Zach Moss, the big mouse, Zach Moss, looks like he's going to play on Sunday, not definitely. That matters for Cincinnati. He's one of the two running backs along with Chase Brown, because Chase Brown can't pass protect. And Travion Williams can't pass protect. So when Zach Moss is in the game, he's great picking up the blitz and picking up pass rushers, which is big when you're going up against Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and the Giants, and the way that they like to send safeties and linebackers. Like this, it actually does matter if he plays. The Nabers situation, I don't think you have to be a Giants fan to feel this way. Kind of like a scary deal at this point. He got concussed 15 days ago. It was 2 weeks ago yesterday. They played on Thursday against the Cowboys. Still hasn't cleared protocol. I think he's unlikely to play in the game. Thibodeau's week to week. I kind of think the Bengals are going to roll them. I haven't bet it yet, and I need to spend a little more time thinking about it. I don't know how you bet the Giants in the game if this is the setup here. If I had to bet the game, I would actually think I will end up betting the Cincinnati Bengals.
But Malik Nabers was healthy enough to go to a Travis Scott concert, which brings a question. Has he gone diva wide receiver out of LSU even faster than Odell Beckham Jr.? Dude, you can't go to a concert when you're in concussion protocol.
Well, I would say like Beckham stunk. Like for like the first half of his rookie year before he became Jerry Rice.
When was the catch? Wasn't that his rookie year?
The catch was like at the end of his rookie year. Yeah, okay. He did nothing. And then like I and a lot of people did. He won us fantasy football leagues. We picked him up and he was Jerry Rice and Randy Moss like the final half of the season. My issue with Malik Nabers is more he has no taste in music.
The hell what? Are you doing? Oh my God. That's not going to win you a lot of fans. Nick Costos here. You better, you bet. Last one for me, Nick, and it's the Monday
sucks,
night.
I'm sorry.
It's the Monday night game, but we're not going to talk to you before Monday. So obviously a lot of turmoil in the Jets organization this week. What else is new? But they decide to go to Todd Downing over Nathaniel Hackett as their play caller. They're 2.5-point underdog in this game. You know, I'm a Bills fan. I think they are going to get a little new coach bump. I think it's going to work, at least for this week. The Bills are super banged up. How would you bet this game?
Okay, so we'll start with like Ulbrich and Downing, right? So we know Todd Downing's not a great offensive coordinator. Like, we've seen him before call plays for the Tennessee Titans. We have no idea if Jeff Ulbrich's a great head coach or the worst head coach. Here's what I can tell you. There's no way Jeff Ulbrich's as bad as Robert Saleh, worse than Robert Saleh. He can only be as bad. It is very likely an upgrade for the Jets at head coach. And for as bad as Todd Downing is, he's definitely better than Nathaniel Hackett. So we could be going from like a 2 to a 4 out of 10, but it's still an upgrade. It's like they have upgraded here at head coach and offensive coordinator, even if they're both bad. And we don't know that yet about Ulbrich. They have upgraded. I liked the Jets in the game before they made all these moves. I like the Jets even more now. And Maggie, I think this is the thing that has to concern you a lot as a Bills fan. And if you want to bet the Bills on Monday, and if you like the Bills going forward this season. So people will look, Maggie, right, at Josh Allen's stat line this last weekend against Houston. 9 for 30, 131 yards. And might say, well, Josh Allen must have played poorly in the game. Actually, none of the receivers can get open. None of them. The only receiver that can actually get, and what an indictment this is on the Bills receiving corps. The only receiver that can actually get open is Khalil Shakir. And when Khalil Shakir is the Jenga piece that when you pull it out, the tower falls down, like your offense is in big trouble. It just is. He didn't practice yesterday. Now it's a Monday night game, so we still have time for him to like get ready to play on Monday night. If he doesn't play, Coleman can't separate. Kincaid gets doubled. Mac Hollins is just a guy. MVS is just a guy. Curtis Samuel looks dusty. And James Cook also isn't practicing, by the way. Yeah. How are they scoring in this game?
Josh Allen
running. How are
they
going to score against the Jets? Okay. But Perloff, we know that. So do the Jets. I think they're going to try and stop it.
All right, Nick, give us your upset. Nick, give us your upset of the week.
Yeah, give me the Browns to beat the Eagles on Sunday.
What?
Get out of here. No.
Yeah, and absolutely.
This is personal, right? Like, you can't really think that's going to happen.
No, I mean, well, how about this? I bet the Browns to cover the spread. I think it's going to go up to 10. I'll take 10 with Cleveland. Nick Sirianni's a terrible coach. Kevin Stefanski's a great coach. Watson might stink. Also, Jalen Hurts turns the ball over constantly. I'll take the Browns with the points. How about this? I'll give you an outright upset here, but I'm going to give you a different way to bet it. So Patriots-Texans on Sunday. Drake, it's going to be May is starting, right? If you like the Patriots in the game, don't bet the 7. Bet them to win. Because if Drake May's good, like, why can't they just win the game? Conversely, if you like the Texans, don't lay 7, bet them alternates, like -13.5, 14.5, 16.5. This game, I think, goes one of two ways. Texans win by 30 or Patriots win outright.
Hey, Nick, I was going to go with the over on the Eagles-Browns, 42.5. What do you think of that? Because I can't tell, is this going to be like a 19-13 game, or can Deshaun move on the terrible, terrible Eagles secondary?
I think he's so bad. he's horrible. I just, honestly, like, the more I talk about this, like, I like the bet conceptually, and then I think of Deshaun Watson, and I don't know if it passes the smell test. He's so bad. But this is like, I hate analogies like this. This is like the stock market, though. It's like, this is the ultimate, like, buy low on the Cleveland Browns, unless, like, this is Enron.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm being serious. Because it's possible, like, this is what's fun about betting sometimes if you think about it like this. It's possible, guys, that the betting market, it's kind of similar to Washington on the flip side, where the betting market didn't know how good a couple weeks ago Washington was, right? With some of the way the point spreads were. It's possible that the betting market has not yet caught up to how dreadful the Browns are with Deshaun Watson as the quarterback. Maybe they're worse than this. Maybe they're the worst team in the league until they bench Watson for Jameis Winston. My bet will be, with the acknowledgement that it could be a disaster, would be for the Browns to keep the game at least reasonably close. Perloff, if I had to bet the total, I would bet the over in the game.
Man, it's so funny. I imagine in a boardroom at Enron once back in the day, they were like, well, at least we're not the Browns. Like, that analogy could have gone either way. Nick, you're the best.
Also, the outfield in that stadium sucked back in the day also for the Astros.
Thank you for being a good sport. We kept you for a long time. Nick Kostos, you can listen to him and watch him on You Better You Bet on the BetQL Network and all across this country. Nick, thank you.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. Let's go, Yankees.
All right, we can cut his mic now. Thank you, Nick. Talk to you next week. Okay, we got to take a quick break. Peter Schwartz is here with headlines in just a moment. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you missed our interview with Nick Kostos from You Better You Bet, gave a lot of great betting advice for both college and pro football this weekend. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. If you give us a 5-star review, it really does help. Small thing goes a long way.
You could also hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app, which is free to download. Peter Schwartz is here with some headlines. Hello, Peter.
Hello there. We lead off in Kansas City, game four of the ALDS, and the Yankees got exactly what they needed from their ace.
As Bell back in the batter's box, it'll be an 0-2. Pham, a short leadoff first, and the pitch struck him out swinging on another breaking ball down. So Cole has been fabulous tonight.
John Sterling had the call on Yankees radio. Yankees beat the Royals 3-1. They win the series 3-1 to advance to the American League Championship Series. Gerrit Cole, outstanding 7 innings, a run, 6 hits, 4 strikeouts, and he certainly enjoyed the post-game celebration.
Fired up. Had a couple IPAs, like, with the boys, spraying some champagne. I mean, like, you know, this is the greatest.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's Gerrit Cole.
Yep.
He sounds completely different in these clips.
Yeah.
It doesn't even, because Gerrit Cole kind of has a Patrick Mahomes kind of Kermit the Frog thing going on, and there's none of that in this clip. Are we sure it's him? It sounds like someone totally different.
I'm told it was Gerrit Cole.
Fired up. Had a couple IPAs, like, with the boys, spraying some champagne. I mean, like, you know, this is the greatest.
Can I ask for the next update? Can we find different Gerrit Cole, a regular season, and then this one, and do a little back-to-back?
Side by side?
Yeah, just for next hour.
We can do that next hour. Absolutely. Yankees advance to the ALCS for the 19th time. Game one in New York Monday night, but the Yankees still do not know who they will be playing.
He squares to bunt, safety bunt. Coming home with it, backhanded flip, the tag on Rocchio. Not in time! He's in with a head-first slide. They pulled off a safety squeeze. And a beauty of a bunt by David Fry.
That was Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio. Came after David Fry earlier in the game, a 2-run pinch hit home run that put the Guardians ahead in the 7th inning, and the Guardians go on to beat the Tigers 5-4 to even the series at 2, forcing a Game 5 on Saturday night. David Fry on the safety squeeze.
Boat kind of came up to me and was like, hey, how confident are you in getting a bunt down? And I told him I wasn't a very good hitter in high school, so I'm pretty confident I had to bunt a lot. And he goes, all right, just keep an eye on Ruggi for signs. And then right before I went up, and he said, go ahead and do it first pitch. And luckily got the run in.
And they sure did. Then Cleveland snaps their 11-game losing streak when it comes to postseason elimination games. Again, Game 5 is Saturday night, 8:08 Eastern time. Tonight, it's Game 5 between the Padres and the Dodgers in the National League Division Series in L.A. The winner of this game will face the Mets in the National League Championship Series. Now to Thursday Night Football.
Three receivers to the right of the line, single wide left. Now Jennings motioning right to left and back to the right. Shotgun snap to Purdy. Purdy pats the football, throws to the right side for the end zone. Oh. It's caught by George Kittle, and he drags his toe across the line for the touchdown.
Kevin Kugler had the call on Westwood 1, Niners over the Seahawks 36-24. Brock Purdy, 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. 2 of them went the way of George Kittle. Head coach Kyle Shanahan liked how Purdy and Kittle connected last night.
First one was awesome. That was a long third down. We're obviously struggling in the red zone to make a big play like that. I think it was third and goal from, I want to say, the 10. But that was huge. It was a dime right in the corner. It was a hell of a route and catch by George. And then I thought the second one was just as impressive. We called a lookie to BA. They played a coverage where 2 people were on him, and he went across the board and had a hell of a throw to George.
And WNBA Finals Game 1, Minnesota over New York in overtime, 95-93.
One of the most improbable endings to a game. If you have not seen the WNBA Final finish last night, rather, from Game 1, you will not believe it. I can't oversell it. It was crazy, crazy game. Peter, thank you so much for that.
You got it.
We'll see you next hour with a side-by-side of what does Gerrit Cole sound like in the regular season and what did he sound like last night? Because that's not the same guy.
You don't think so?
We're going to find out next hour.
We're going to find out. I'm going to go look for him.
We've got a lot more to do, including we've got plenty more college football to preview for this weekend. Perloff and I have picks to make next.
I'm really torn because this college football weekend is so exciting. Like, picking any of these games is stressing me out, but I think I got it. I think I'm dialed in, Meg.
It's Perloff's confidence warranted. We'll see. Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network.
Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.